something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a rebroadcast of the just concluded Global Communion service with Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Lord. How great thou art, O Lord. How great thou art. Thank you. You may be seated everywhere. Now, before we go into some other aspects of today's service, I'd like to show you a documentary, especially because of some of the things going on in our world today, because God's people need a warning. God's people need a warning. I've warned you about the vaccines. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let them deceive you. Watch this documentary.
For many years, several epidemics and diseases that have ravaged the world have been proven to be carefully and systematically concocted schemes against humanity and were of no natural causes. Did you know that they were created with a sinister agenda by the perpetrators? Yes, a sinister intent to sell vaccines to a gullible world population. These vaccines, in essence, have been nothing short of destructive. And unknown to many, these vaccines have in turn given rise to more epidemics, viral infections, and diseases in their wake.
In 1969, there were not simply seven germs that America had weaponized. Conservatively, there were thousands when you include the bioterrorizing cancer viruses and other germs being cloned, mutated, and mass-produced for global distribution in support of the drug cartel's burgeoning cancer industry. This developing cancer industry really got a shot in the arm back in the 1950s, when the first polio vaccines produced in contaminated monkey kidney tissues containing cancer viruses were being tested and injected in millions of people worldwide. The cancer virus was later identified as SV40. It was determined to cause cancer in nearly every species it was injected. After scientists and informed industrialists realized these vaccines were going to produce epidemics of cancer, cartel officials within the National Cancer Institute started a special virus cancer program, the SVCP, in 1962, according to secretive documents. Here is simply a partial list of the deadly viruses they created in labs by 1971. These included leukemia viruses, lymphoma viruses, sarcoma viruses, encephalitis agents, genital herpes, Hodgkin's disease, influenza, infectious mononucleosis, kuru, that is the mad cow disease prion, breast tumor viruses, and much more.
I think an epidemic, either naturally caused or intentionally caused, is the most likely thing to cause, say, 10 million excess deaths.
An epidemic, either naturally caused or intentionally caused, is the most likely thing to cause, say, 10 million excess deaths.
There is no question that there will be a challenge the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
There will be a surprise outbreak.
They created the crisis and decided to proffer solutions in a very sly way.
As has been proven in time, the globalists again and again deploy an appalling method of social control, which is conveyed in the Hegelian dialectic, where a crisis is created, for which the reaction of the society is modeled, and in turn, the crisis simulators present a solution to the crisis. In 2020, the COVID crisis was unleashed, but long before the outbreak of the created virus, vaccines had already been created, and sure enough, when the world panicked, the perpetrators of the COVID crisis presented vaccines as the ultimate solution to the problem.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
This will be the new normal until a vaccine is developed.
Until we find a vaccine, going back to normal means putting lives at risk.
We need to produce it and to deploy it in every single corner of the world.
Full vaccination of our children and pregnant women.
Development of new vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics.
However, this phony solution was really no solution at all, as many were maimed, injured, and several lives were lost as a result of these so-called vaccines. Today, yet another systematically concocted crisis is underway. This time, it's dressed up as an existing so-called problem, malaria. And their solution again is vaccines.
There's a group among the world leaders that are committed, dedicated to eugenics. They've been at it for a long, long time, and they're deceiving others with their philanthropy. And I've asked you, don't you hear them? Don't you hear them? Especially leaders of government in Africa and Asia, don't you hear them? They come to your country and pretend to be philanthropists. They love your country. The same people who are advocates of depopulation, advocates of population reduction. They're calling for drastic population reduction. Those people, you believe they want to save your lives? You believe they're going to help you with some drugs to save you from, save your children from measles and malaria? Are you serious?
There is a policy of the American government. It's called the Kissinger Report, which was produced in the mid-70s. And it explicitly states that the purpose of the foreign policy in Africa was to reduce the population.
And what the developing world does not need is more children.
And I think that was the biggest aha to Bill and me when we got into this work, is we asked ourselves, of course, the same hard-nosed question you'd ask, which is, if you get into this work and you start to save these children, will women just keep overpopulating the world? And thank goodness the converse is absolutely true.
Under this veil of deceit, these so-called philanthropists champion the cause of creating and releasing genetically modified mosquitoes in many nations under the guise of curbing the spread of malaria. On the contrary, these genetically modified mosquitoes have proven to be transmitters of malaria and other deadly incurable viruses.
I was reading of the new kind of Anopheles mosquito that causes malaria that defies any kind of drugs. It's already in certain countries in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. Again, I have news for you. Those mosquitoes were not, they didn't come naturally. No, they were created in the laboratory.
Bill Gates is playing God via the Gates Foundation subsidized company known as Oxitec with genetically engineered mosquitoes in the Florida Keys, California, and Southeast Texas.
I'm at the world's biggest mosquito factory for the World Mosquito Program. We're making in here 30 million mosquitoes a week.
According to Yahoo Finance, it clearly states that the lead investors of the company Oxitec, who provided funding to the tune of $18 million, is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
They are creating mosquitoes. Mosquitoes that can sting and kill people. They're creating them in the labs. They have not just they're created, they've made them. And these mosquitoes will be sent into several countries to cause harm.
Mosquitoes across the US are testing positive to extremely rare and deadly viruses, some of which were eradicated decades ago, and others which have never before been reported in the United States.
Inside boxes like these on the Florida Keys, a possible key to what scientists hope will slow an invasive and dangerous mosquito species.
Patients can go from being perfectly normal to paralyzed or even dead within 12 to 48 hours.
The first death this season in Massachusetts. 50-year-old Lori Sylvia passing away Sunday.
Various states across the U.S. have reported a sharp increase in mosquito-borne viruses. In the Midwest, cases of the mosquito-borne Jamestown Canyon virus are on the rise. Jamestown Canyon virus can cause severe disease, including encephalitis, which is the infection of the brain, or meningitis, which is the infection of the membranes around the brain and spinal cord.
Bill Gates and his foundation have said that mosquitoes are the most dangerous and destructive elements or insects in the world.
When it comes to killing humans, no other animal is nearly as deadly as the mosquito.
Well, the only reason he said that is because they are producing the most dangerous.
To the unsuspecting, this might seem like a heroic attempt to help eradicate the spread of malaria in developing countries, but the truth is, underneath this fake act of heroism lies a profoundly sinister agenda, and this is yet another attempt at tyranny, as well as another ploy geared towards achieving the depopulation agenda. But this time, the strategy is through the hoax of malaria vaccines.
Now, some of you have been told in some countries that they're coming with vaccines for malaria. What? Vaccines? For malaria? The malaria vaccine should be DOA, dead on arrival. Because what they're trying to do is what they could not do with COVID, get under your skin. They're trying another effort. Because they know a lot of people want some immunity, some help to fight malaria.
A multi-center study led by the University of Maryland is testing the safety and effectiveness of the first ever mRNA vaccine against malaria.
This mRNA vaccine is based on a protein called the circumsporozoite protein that has been known to protect against malaria using other vaccine platforms.
Like the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, the new malaria vaccine uses the power of genetics to provide protection.
It's a lie. They're lying to you. These vaccines that are coming out, these are terrible vaccines. And I've told you that the current mRNA vaccines are not really vaccines. They're using the generic terminology. The scientific definition is completely different. So when you're told it's a vaccine, there is a deception in it.
What we're seeing in the data is that the mRNA shots that came under warp speed, they've turned out to be very ineffective and could be very harmful.
The first point is that this new mRNA technology that the COVID-19 vaccines have been based on has been so profitable that we understand that they want to make all vaccines that way. Now, the fact is, whatever you do with mRNA, there are very serious immunological issues that make mRNA vaccination dangerous. It doesn't matter whether you're making it against a virus, a bacteria, against any condition. There are inherent dangerous problems immunologically with mRNA technology.
Okay.
It should be avoided at all costs, but where you are wanting to inject healthy people with mRNA, the risks absolutely outweigh the benefits.
To these vaccines, especially with the newer ones, it's not just mRNA that we have to be careful of. They're bringing in antigen-based vaccines. And for example, with the new malaria vaccine, it has the hepatitis antigen. And they've already rolled it out to 3 countries. And these are for children from 6 weeks to 5 years of age, right? And they also gave it to some adults. And now they're rolling it out to 12 more African countries. But this is also interesting. They started this trial in 2019 to finish only in 2025. So it's not finished, but you're hearing the song and dance on safe and effective. It's like a new word to describe some miracle, where everybody is believing everything is safe and effective, but they're not realizing the trials haven't even ended. But now you are administering it routinely to children. And there's something new that the WHO has come out with. It's called implied consent. So it basically means, and this is what they're doing with this malaria vaccine in these 12 African countries. They're saying if we publicly make them aware, if we put it out on the newspaper, if we show them in various areas, put up the posters, that has given parental consent. You are now aware that your child is going to have this vaccine in their classroom, in their school, wherever they might be, in their creche, and you've given indirect permission for this. So there's actually no parental consent needed. It's called implied consent. So further autonomy is just taken away.
So we have another huge scandal from the WHO where they're dosing people without consent in Africa and trying to point at their results and say, oh, look, it's a great product. It's safe and effective. And this isn't some inert substance. Look at what they found in their trials before they rolled this out to unwitting subjects in Africa without consent. So they talk about outstanding safety concerns that emerged from previous clinical trials. This is on the British Medical Journal. These concerns include a rate of meningitis in those receiving Mosquirix 10 times of those who did not, increased cerebral malaria cases, and a doubling in the risk of death from any cause in girls. Proposed framework for policy decision. So they claim no vaccine-associated deaths, but look at this. Febrile convulsions. That's concerning. It doesn't really say much about that, but that'd be where you have a fever, febrile, and you're convulsing, so you're losing control of your body and shaking. It says potential safety signals. Imbalance in meningitis cases, 10 to 1, 10 times as many meningitis cases in the vaxxed arm than the control. They also say numerically increased cerebral malaria cases, 2 to 1. And this part's just outright horrifying. Post hoc analysis, increased number of female deaths in those who received the vaccine, Mosquitrix, versus the comparator vaccine. Wow, so this isn't even a placebo study. This is compared to a different vaccine, 2 times as many female deaths, which they assure us on the first line, no vaccine-associated deaths. And then they tell us a little further down the page, oh, the death rate for female deaths doubled. And that's not even against the placebo. That's against another comparator vaccine. 18 million doses of first ever malaria vaccine allocated to 12 African countries. And this is a joint news release from Gavi, the WHO, and UNICEF. Now, here's where they tell us which vaccine is being sent. I'll cover in a second the mixed messages that are being put out about which vaccine is being shipped. But according to the three organizations, last week, this was July the 5th, 2023, they're saying they're sending 18 million doses of RTS-S-AS01. And if we search this, we'll see it's Mosquitrix. So this is the vaccine that the press releases say they're shipping. And this vaccine has been embroiled in a scandal. The British Medical Journal had a great article about this. in 2020. The WHO's malaria vaccine study represents a serious breach of international ethical standards.
One of the criticisms that most of us have for the vaccine is actually myopic, because we say that the vaccines were not well tested. But I'm telling you, the vaccines were tested, and I want to tell you what happened. They tested the vaccines to be sure it will do what they wanted them to do. The vaccines are actually doing what they wanted done. You are thinking that they should have tested the vaccines because they're experimental. No, they used the term experimental to escape legal problems. These are supposed to be crimes against humanity, but no one's prosecuting that. Why? Because those to prosecute are actually the perpetrators. That's why I'm so glad that the one with whom I'm hooked up is the greatest of all.
Yes,
his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's bigger than everybody.
Yes,
because all the others are going to fail you. All the others are going to fail you. But Jesus is bigger than everybody.
Hallelujah.
And he's trustworthy. He never fails.
Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him.
Praise God. I hope you heard very clearly a statement made by Melinda Gates in that place when she was talking with the gentleman. She said, if we save the children, they're just going to keep increasing the population. In other words, we can't do that. We can't save the children. If we save the children, they will worsen the situation by increasing the population. But what did you think the foundations were doing? You thought they came to save the children. But that video was not supposed to be seen, at least not in Africa. So when you understand the African policy of the United States, as clearly stated by Henry Kissinger, the former Secretary of State, you'd see that it was a policy of population reduction. So you have to understand, it's the policy. It's America's policy for Africa, which means whatever food they endorse or send or sponsor to Africa, whatever drink and whatever project, it is in their national interest of drastically cutting down population in Africa. And for your information, it's not just a mere reduction to what you might call something convenient. No, it's said to be near zero. To near zero. Understand it. Okay. Now, I'd like to show you another brief discussion from a member of parliament in the United Kingdom.
The WHO are promoting the influence of private-public partnerships. They promote that on their websites to the point where it's pay to play.
Pause
anyone
for a
can
second.
Buy.
Pause for a second, so I just let you understand what. This is about the World Health Organization and their plans to strategically take over the nations of the world. Why telling you that it's a global effort against possible pandemics of the future. So they called it a pandemic treaty.
which they later modified to a pandemic accord, as though there's much difference. There's a technical difference, because they know that for some countries, there are certain things required, certain conditions required for signing a treaty, just because of the semantics. Okay? So they decided to reword it and call it a pandemic accord, which is a synonym for a treaty. These guys play on words and deceive the public. But what's concerning is what's in the treaty, which a lot of people have no clue about. I just want you to hear from this gentleman. Listen.
The WHO are promoting the influence of private-public partnerships. They promote that on their websites, to the point where it's pay to play. Anyone can buy influence at the WHO. It's just going to cost you money. And when it comes to when they're consulting, their own internal report, their survey evaluation, final report, May 23rd, 2022, the various interest groups have more input to the WHO policy than the member states. It said under the WHO's own figures that the member states' only participation was 40% of the input, whereas 60% came from non-member states and 276 stakeholders. So it's clear there's a strong external influence on the policy of the WHO, an entity which, if the amendments to the International Health Regulations and the pandemic treaty were to be passed, and doing nothing is not an option, if this House does nothing and does not vote, they will come to pass by May 24. So doing nothing is not an option. It isn't going to go away. So the WHO's intermediate study says the WHO is an international organisation created as a sub-agency of the United Nations for the objective of obtaining the highest possible level of health for all people. But at what cost? At what cost? What cost to democracy? What cost to individual freedoms? It is now 80% funded by non-member states, and it is heavily influenced. And it also, during the pandemic, it took extra powers called the fact that it could define information. It took on a position, and this will be enacted in law and binding in those two new instruments, that the WHO has the ability to say what is disinformation. And when anybody says to you that the science is settled on any issue, I suggest that this House would smell a rat straight away, because science is never settled. There is always open for modification, for new things to be discovered, theses to be refined. And what the WHO is saying is that the WHO will be the arbiter of what the science is, and that cannot be right. It's a bit like someone saying the market's changed. Well, in my experience, it never has. So that is a huge grab of power. And the two instruments, the pandemic treaty and the amendments to the international health regulations, are progressing in parallel. And for those who, I just really worry whether colleagues in this have actually read the treaty, because clearly, you know, when you take out the words not binding as an amendment, it then becomes binding. You know, these are binding treaties. If we do nothing, these treaties are binding. They're legally binding across all the nations. They're bringing in an idea called One Health. So, and this then extends the ability of the Director General of the WHO to call a public health emergency of international concern, which incidentally is abbreviated to FAKE. So, and it says that he can bring it in on the suspicion, the risk of an international incident. It doesn't even have to be about a pathogen that's affecting humans. It can affect animals. It's taking the powers because of the environment or an increase in the levels of CO2. I suggest that Honourable and Right Honourable Members read the treaty. It's a massive extension of powers. And at the drop of a hat, one man, Mr. Tedros, can call for massive powers to the WHO, And not only will he call when he takes the powers, he will decide when the pandemic or the emergency is over, and when he'll possibly give us the powers back to this House, where elected representatives are supposed to be representing the interests of our constituents. Well, that will all be suspended. And I would, while we're talking about Mr. Tedros, I mean, I would just remind the House that this gentleman who will be deciding the fate of the world, it will be within his gift to call this these emergencies. The conduct of the WHO in the recent Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where 83 individuals who were working for the WHO sexually abused local women, and including the sexual assault of a 13-year-old girl, and it was all covered up, Mr. Sharma, and in a leaked document from the WHO, which would have been in front of Mr. Tedros's committee, a confidential UN report submitted to the WHO last month concluded that the manager's handling of the case didn't violate WHO sexual exploitation policies because the woman concerned was not a beneficiary of WHO aid since she didn't receive any humanitarian support. That is completely unacceptable. If that's the rules of an organisation, they'll be deciding whether my constituents are locked down for 6 months, 3 months, and whether they can go and see their granny. I don't think it's acceptable.
Interesting. They're interesting indeed. So the WHO wants to have the absolute power to decide what is misinformation. So what we're talking about previously, the truth police, WHO, wants to assume that power.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.